Welcome.
Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. It is always great to have you here. And today I have the pleasure of interviewing author David Clark, who has said he's found a higher power, or God, if you will, to help him overcome addiction and depression. He wrote an ebook called Occam's Razor Revisited, A Simple Solution to Freedom from All Addictions. This book is a blazing, candid memoir recovery guide within a spiritual context. It is a deeply moving, intensely caring, intimate portrayal of a gay man's journey through major depression, manic episodes, extreme indulgence, and sexual addiction. He eventually discovered the power of the simple solution and enjoys enduring sobriety. Unlike many self-help books, it speaks from the heart as one who's been there and back. Too many times, it offers a simple, doable plan that can lead to a safe harbor for addicts and people on the brink of disaster. It is a valuable source of information and inspiration for manic depressives, addicts, and their supporters, their codependents, and professionals in the field of guilt, wrapped in a literate and fascinating read. And after 26 years of practicing, studying, rising above, and sinking to the depths, recommitment, regret, disillusionment, and in competent professionals, 12-step commitments and lapses confirms that he, as an expert on the subject, is definitely a workable solution. So I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome David Clark from Syracuse, New York. Thanks so much for coming on, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I'm glad you're here. So I have to say, before I get into anything, big kudos to you for going through all that and just basically finding a way out.
Well, it was a real challenge for me. Sexual addiction was the granddaddy of my addictions, and it had plagued me since childhood, and especially took off when I came out as a gay man in the 70s, where gay sex was rampant. And, of course, what happened in the 80s was that a lot of gay men were contracting AIDS and dying. And mm-hmm. I, as a sex addict, never thought of the consequences, practiced unsafe sex, and survived and did not get HIV disease, which is a miracle. But mm-hmm. I did find my way to recovery 26 years ago. And, you know, as you said in the description of the book, there have been a lot of lapses along the way. It's not like putting down a substance like alcohol. And not mm-hmm. to diminish that, that's difficult too. But I was relieved of the compulsion to drink in 2 weeks. And I had been a case of beer drinker a day prior to that. Today, I can drink safely, and I never have more than 2 drinks. So I maintain that once an addict, not always an addict. And Bernie mm-hmm. Siegel, author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles, wrote a wonderful foreword to the book and affirms with me that all disease manifests from disease within oneself, and that it is the person who heals themselves from that disease.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. So now I'm going to ask, what is the premise of recovery then for your book?
Well, it's threefold. You know, I go into a lot of detail in the book, and it is to follow the golden rule, do no harm, and use your conscience as your guide. And I work with a lot of spiritual principles in the book, and I share my life story around 4 major themes, which different people may relate to, and some may relate to all of them. There's recovery from extreme homophobia, recovery mm-hmm. from alcoholism, recovery from sexual addiction, and recovery from mental illness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's really good, and I'm sure very, very helpful. So now, I know you said that once an addict, always an addict. However, can a former addict actually be cured of sexual addiction, alcoholism, or other addictions?
That's what I'm maintaining. I'm saying that once an addict, not always an addict. I may have misstated that. I believe, unlike a lot of professionals in the field, that it is completely possible to completely recover from any addiction. And there are a lot of people out there who are beginning to embrace that notion, but it runs contrary to the professional opinion, and anybody in AA would maintain that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And of course, you come into AA meetings, and what do you say? I'm so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. And to me, that's a disaffirming or unaffirming statement, and it keeps somebody locked in the mindset that they are an alcoholic or they are a sex addict. And then the struggle can continue. And when I go to a sex addict's meeting, I say I am free of sexual addiction. And that's my reality. And it took a long time to get to that place.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, it's amazing that you did. So I'm going to ask now, how can spirituality help with this? I mean, I've heard of several cases where, I've actually heard of many cases where, like you, they have found God or a higher power or what have you. So how can spirituality help with this?
Well, one way is I believe that among that God only wants good things for his children or your higher power. And you don't need to believe in God to embrace a higher power. It can be something like the group conscience, you know, the wisdom of other people coming to you through 12-step programs. But I'm going to say that I believe in God, and I believe God wants abundance of all blessings, including joy. And I think one of the pathways that really works for me, aside from using the golden rule, is to, as Joseph Campbell, the author of Power of the Myth, said, is to follow your bliss. If you stay aligned with joy, then nothing can take you into a negative place where you might be vulnerable to addictive urges. And Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, says that you should allow nothing to take you from consistent moments of joy. And that's a challenge, but it's possible to do that. And it's possible, it's not necessarily possible to stay totally aligned with that, but if somebody practices awareness, which is something else I talk about in the book, if they're conscious to their thoughts, and I maintain that every thought is a prayer. If you want to lead a spiritual life, you want to lead with uplifting thoughts, uplifting words, uplifting actions, things that are positive vibrations that are connected to love. Think with your heart. And when you do that and are conscious of your thoughts, if you start to slip away from your joy, you'll have that awareness and can reclaim it. If you fall way down the ladder and go to a place of despair, you've got a long way to climb to get back up. And that's the place I used to go to. I used to fall right off the top of the ladder and go all the way down, and it almost always was connected to guilt and shame. And that shame is toxic. I believe guilt is only useful as an indicator that you need to change your behavior or make some amends or say you're sorry to somebody. But guilt can quite often trigger shame. And shame is an awful thing for anybody to have to deal with.
And I completely agree. And you know what? Everything you say, I do agree with. However, you are right that it is very challenging, because what if you have circumstances like you are financially drained, or you're a caregiver having to give everything of yourself? You know, I mean, this is a thing, and you're finding very little time for yourself. or anything, like, you know, if you're just trapped in any other, in some way, whether it's real or imagined or what. How do you tell these people to stay in a constant state of joy? Because that is a major, major, major challenge. Even though you're right, how can they do that?
Well, it's very important to practice gratitude. And if you can find your joy and something comes along that might take you from it, it's very important for me, and I believe for anybody, to count your blessings and to take care of yourself. I believe the number one goal of recovery is to take care of yourselves at all levels, which translates to physical, emotional, or mental. I mean, it's the thoughts that trigger the emotions. So physical, mental, and spiritual. And by spiritual, again, that does not have to be connected to God, but just leading a morally sound life. And so if you take care of yourself, you're not going to get into a position where you feel trapped or where you become a victim to circumstances. Certainly somebody that's in a caregiver role has a real challenge. And I know my mother did that, and she burnt out with my grandfather. But the thing to do when you're trying to serve as a caregiver to somebody is line up a lot of extra help to support you, to give you respite. Mm-hmm. No such thing as a victim unless you allow yourself to be trapped and are not taking care of yourself. And when something like finances come along, and I've had some real financial hardships in my life, I have turned to my blessings. And when I focus on my blessings, that's when abundance seems to flow. And I was down to paying the last $5 I had to get a couple loaves of bread, and my bills were paid, but I didn't know where money was going to come from. A friend bought $40 worth of groceries for me, and the next day a form of disability income came through. That's just the way it worked for me, because I stayed aligned with gratitude. But it's not easy. It's not easy.
Nope.
There are spiritual principles at work in the universe, but you know, it's easy to fall victim to circumstances, and it's important to not to do that.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for sharing that, because this is even a really good reminder for me. And you know what? We all know this. We do. It's just so easy to forget. It's so easy to focus, oh, I'm exhausted, I hate this job, this or that. Yeah, no, but you're absolutely right. So, thank you so much for the reminder, and that really is very important to remember. All right.
Well, I think can I say something about the I am statement? I think it's important to recognize that if you're tired, that's simply a feeling that's passing through you. And it's important not to attach the I am statement to anything that's negative. Exhausted is negative. Just acknowledge the feeling and let it go, and then take care of yourself. If you're tired, take a nap. If you hate your job, that's an indicator that you need to do something to change your situation. And if you hate your job and stay in it, then you're allowing yourself to become a victim.
Yeah,
but
no,
I am.
Right.
I am is an affirming statement, and so a person should only attach positive things to that. And if they find a hard time feeling lovable, then they need to say something like, "I am worthy of love. I am a beloved child of God." If they wish to possess a quality that they don't feel they have, they should claim it in the now as if they do have it. There's some real magic to it, but it takes a lot of work. It's not as simple as saying an affirmation, and I talk a lot about affirmations in my book.
Now, the thing is, too, I know I've heard this as a suggestion. However, what happens if you feel like you're just lying to yourself? You know, say, for instance, if you're flat broke, and yet you say, yeah, I am rich. You know, you're lying to yourself. So what do you do in that situation?
Well, you can acknowledge the circumstance that mm-hmm. I am experiencing a financial challenge, but abundance is headed my way. That's what you could do.
Because that actually makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, something like that is indeed a lie. To say, but you could say, mm-hmm. I am rich in my blessings. I'm experiencing a financial challenge. Try not to stay in a place of struggle. Try not to say that I'm experiencing financial hardships. Call it a challenge, but I am worthy of abundance, and abundance is headed my way. It's very important. The language is very powerful, and people need to choose affirming statements and not statements that keep them trapped.
Okay. So now I'm going to ask, what in your childhood background did you need to heal from?
My mother was mentally ill, and I'm a sex abuse survivor. There was a lot of psychological abuse because I was really scared for my mother. And in a sense, I kind of played surrogate husband to her, or surrogate parent, trying to take care of her emotional needs. And my own feelings were neglected. My own needs were neglected. And so I had to break free from a lot of that. And I did not even have an awareness of my sexual abuse until I started to come out of addiction, because I literally blocked myself. And this is not uncommon for survivors of abuse to have an out-of-body experience to take care of themselves at the point of abuse and to later remember it when they break free of negative behaviors that they use to keep stuff like that away from them.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being so honest about that.
No problem. I think it's important to get the word out. You know, because if I'm not honest, and if my life is not an open book, then I can't help people who are going through some of the same things I did. And I suffered from 14 years of suicidal depressions, have attempted suicide a few times, and I have not had that kind of inclination in 27 years.
Well, that's good that there are others that you can help, because I am sure there's a lot of people that need to, you know, get a hold of your book. Now, actually, here's a very interesting question I have. You also say that past lives can affect addiction through negative karma. So how did this play out for you?
Okay. Well, I had a multi-life therapy session, which, you know, a lot of people would refer to it as past life regression, where I went to three lives, and in one of them, I'd been a rape victim and was blamed for the attack, was shunned by the village. My name was Elizabeth. I was in 18th century England, and I could see it clearly, and no seeds were planted. You know, I was simply asked where I was, and, you know, I had been guided to an altered state by a very skillful past life regressionist. So anyhow, what she did is she rewrote history in that life, which you can't really do in this life. But what she did is she took me back to the point in time before the rape occurred and directed me to go in a different direction. So the rape never happened. And then I married, I had children, and I died of old age peacefully. Now, when I came out of that session, within a couple of weeks, I was free of addiction. And I have a regressionist on my radio show that says any fear that or major challenge that you have in this life that's not directly related to your childhood comes from a previous life. So that's just food for thought. A lot of people do not believe in reincarnation, but more and more people are believing in it. I did not used to believe in it, but I do now. And it makes sense spiritually because this life is not fair. You see people that have extreme hardships and then other people that have seemingly easygoing lives and say, what's with that? But I believe that we choose the life circumstances that we want to experience before we become incarnated to help give us the full human dimension of relationships to round out our souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes, though, I think some people bit off more than they could chew. When you're doing that planning, there's no ego there.
No, there is none.
And then once you're here, you got ego, you know? So it's like, I find myself in that situation too. What the heck did I get myself into?
Well, ego is kind of like the devil on our shoulder because it says I'm better than you or why is this happening to me? It does a lot of things that make somebody a victim and or lead somebody to practice judgment, and ultimately the judgment is on oneself because whatever you project onto somebody else as a judgment really comes from lack of self-esteem. So it's very important to stay aligned with your heart center and with your spirit and to think with your heart instead of with your head. Meaning ego. I mean, obviously, we have brains to help us with life challenges, but I think that if people focus on their heart and being loving and doing unto others as they would have them do unto themselves, they would find themselves free of a lot of trials and tribulations. And it's very important not to judge, and that's what the ego does. And it always comes back on you.
Yes, and I mean, one thing, though, that there, if the ego is kept in check, it does serve as a protective mechanism, too, because the thing is,
without any ego,
you're going to bleed dry if you're just becoming so sacrificing. You know, you need self-preservation. You need to know your limits,
yes,
and that's what the ego is for.
From that standpoint, it's very important to have an ego.
Yeah.
It's not all bad. It's not all bad. No,
but the thing is, a lot of people, unfortunately, go to the negative aspects of it, so that does make a lot of sense. You need a balance. This is what it is. I think that's what life is. You need to learn balance. You do.
That's it. It's all about focusing on the positive and letting go of the negative. And there are some things about the ego that are positive. But we live in a vibrational universe, and what we put out is what we get. And so if we're putting out something that's negative, it returns to us. That's the law of cause and effect, or karma, if you will.
Right.
And, just try it. See how a change in your attitude can change your life circumstances. There's some real magic to it, if you will. But, I mean, it's just a spiritual law. It's a law of cause and effect.
Right. That's very true. So I'm going to ask, David, where is your book available?
All right. Well, right now it's just out on Kindle. But Balboa Press, which is an imprint of Hay House, is bringing the book out in December in hardcover and paperback form. Initially, I would suggest people go to Amazon, but hopefully it will be in stores like Barnes & Noble. And I'd also like to put in a plug for my other books, if I can.
Sure.
I've also written a book called Shades of Gay, which traces the decline of a sex addict and alcoholic over the course of 8 years, who becomes challenged and has to face up to the music when his partner gives him an ultimatum. And it is a very explicit book that shows addiction for what it is, so it's not for the faint of heart, but it's a book about rising above, about the joy of spirit and transformation. And then I've written two books under the pen name of Davis Ojerdwe, and you don't need to remember that. Just go to Amazon and type in Sister Mary Olga Fortitude. The two books are The Misadventures of Sister Mary Olga Fortitude and Babes in Bucksnort. And she likes her bourbon and her Marlboros. She has a flip-top cross. It's very irreverent, but it has a spiritual context within it. Her flip-top cross is hollow and serves as a flask for her bourbon. The Reverend Mother's a reformed prostitute. The convent chef is a gay cowboy, and all the characters are zany. And there's a lot of humanity, cross-section of humanity portrayed in the books in a very satirical way that will make people take a look at themselves and not take life so seriously.
Okay, great. So I'm going to finally ask, could you tell us more about your radio show and where others can connect with you?
Sure. My radio show is called Different Strokes for Different Folks. And it's all about the human journey, vis-a-vis life, overcoming life challenges and finding one's way to one's spirit. And what I attempt to do in the show and has had complete success with is to find common ground with my guests, even if we don't have exactly the same belief systems.
Right.
And I have a variety of guests. I have best-selling authors. I have the lesbian comedian Kate Clinton. I have past life regressionists, psychics, healers, visionaries, ministers, priests, all sorts of people, famous people, and then ordinary people with a story to tell. And you can find my shows on freespiritbroadcasting.com. It is carried on blogtalkradio.com on Thursdays at 3:30 p.m., Fridays at 7:30 p.m. And if people want to see what my upcoming episodes are, they can just go to blogtalkradio.com/authordavidclark with an E, and that will bring up the times of the show and the upcoming episodes.
Okay, now I just want to question, is that Eastern Standard Time?
That's correct.
3 o'clock.
Yep.
Okay.
3:30 and 7:30 on 3:30 Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Friday.
Okay, great. All right, well, this is excellent. So, you know what? What a fascinating show. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And
you are welcome, too.
Yeah, no, it was great. So is there anything else you'd like to say, just something for a minute? Do you have any tips you want to give anyone?
Well, I think that I've made my points, but let me just underscore them. I want people to lead happy, abundant lives. And the way to do that is to stay positive, use the power of positive thinking, think with your heart, and follow your joy. And if you do those things, you can do no wrong.
Okay. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right, and this is something we all have to remember no matter how hard it is. And you know what? If you really are having a tough time, that's when you need to seek some outside intervention.
And I do
anyway,
I do spirit life counseling if people are interested. They can go to my website, authordavidclark.com.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for sharing. All right, we are just about out of time. And again, thank you so much. Everyone, you have yourself a fantastic week. I will see you next week. Bye for now.